Everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of This Woman Can. I am your host, Janice Sutherland, founder and CEO of This Woman Can. Now, I don't know about you, but things are changing. I'm finding it's getting really busy now when it comes to work. And a lot of my friends were having the conversations about how we start adjusting to this new environment. So how are you managing this different and quite unique back to work, back to school season? I've been reflecting on what that looks like, and I've talked to my friends who have young children about getting ready to school, making changes to my own business to reflect the climate. And they're all very different times we're living in. And it can be quite tempting to look at this as the new normal and just want to settle where we are or just give up altogether. But in the midst of all these changes, trust me, we can't just settle here because it seems really counterintuitive. Now is actually the best time to turn the challenges we're facing as working women, as working moms, into opportunities. There's opportunities to learn new skills, opportunities to become more adaptable, and opportunities to turn lemons into lemonade. Personally, I've been amazed at how I've pivoted my business to coach differently, with a mask on when I have the few in-person sessions, using technology more than ever, but also striving to be closer to my clients. So you'll be hearing a lot more about what I'm doing and how I aim to help you and the This Woman Can community. And why I love this week's interview with Renee Lindo is this is a woman who did just that, who pivoted in her career. It was before the pandemic, but the whole process and what she goes through and what she shares are all applicable to the period we're living in. And as she focuses on image, personal image, you know, how you dress for success, it's also quite poignant because some of us are going back to work, some of us are still working from home, but still we have to portray that image that we're taking seriously as leaders, as dependable women at what we do. So I really hope you take some great points away from the interview. Don't forget to share, rate, review, subscribe wherever you listen to this podcast. I'd really appreciate it because it's how I get the word out to more people. And don't forget, This Woman Can is more than a podcast. It's an online community because no one should have to feel like they're going it alone. So you can join the community. You deserve a group of people that you can trust who understand what you're going through and, more importantly, genuinely want to help you succeed. And apart from this, we can be a team in your corner. This Woman Can has the tools specifically geared to help women like you to keep on moving up. So head over to www.thiswomancan.coach. It's free to join and meet fabulous women within the group. So without further ado, here's this week's episode. Hey everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of This Woman Can. My guest this week is Renee Lindo. She's a personal stylist based in Toronto. Let me tell you, ladies, the pressure was real. She served clients globally, and she has a keen sense of style and a corporate sales background. So we're going to talk about her transition from the corporate world to becoming this personal stylist. And she's perfectly positioned to guide professional women on their style journey so they can show up as the best version of themselves. So I can see this is going to be a fabulous conversation. So Renee, welcome to This Woman Can.
Thank you so much for having me, Janice. I'm delighted to be here.
Fantastic.
Really excited to be here.
We got here eventually. We've had a couple of fits and starts, but we got here eventually. So Renee, I gave a very short potted intro into who you are, what you do, but tell us a bit more about your journey and how you got to where you are today.
Oh, sure. So I am Jamaican. So I went to school, grew up in Jamaica, and, you know, I always figured I wanted to be a doctor. So did all the sciences to do that. And then went off to university and then kind of changed in university. Well, yeah, be a doctor. And then when I left university, I said, you know what, I don't know if I wanted to be a doctor, but I still wanted to be in that space. Mm. So I went into pharma sales where I could use my science background and do work. And so I've built my career, really working hard, developing my skills from, you know, I started in Atlanta in Atlanta. I was a leader in the Caribbean, and then lastly in Canada as a sales director. And as I said, you know, I've worked really hard to be successful and reach the top. And I was always driven.
Yeah.
And you know, one day I looked around. I'm like, oh my God, I'm at the top of my mountain, but it's the wrong mountain. I'm like, I do not want to be here. Like, it no longer soothed my soul. It
Yes,
actually sucked my soul, and I didn't enjoy it anymore. And I'm like, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? Because the pressure was, okay, you've reached the top. Wherever you're going now, you're going to be starting over, right? And so that was a huge struggle for me. And then I just said, you know what? I want to really play into my strengths. I want to use what I love, what I'm good at, and help women. Because at my level, there were no other women around the table with me. I was the only one in my company anyway. And I said, you know, if I can help women feel confident, help them to feel good about themselves, put their hands up for more, negotiate for themselves, and you know, with confidence. And I really believe that how you look, the way you present yourself, how you put yourself together gives you like that armor. And I used it with my reps as well. I really helped them to go shop for themselves, put outfits together. And I said, no, I'm going to lean into that. I love this. I'm good at this. People come to me for help. And so I stepped away from corporate about a year and a half ago to launch my business. Yes.
And what was the reaction? What was the? I know what happened. I had my transition from corporate to entrepreneurship, but what was the reaction of people around you for you making that move?
Are you crazy? Like, in a nutshell, it was kind of like, it was, who does that, right? You have, from the outside, it looks fantastic, right? You have all this autonomy, you're making great money, you have all the benefits, the travel, the expense accounts. So I call that effort as like golden handcuffs. You have all of that. But
Absolutely.
even with all of that, I was empty. It just sucked my soul. And Sundays in my home were miserable because the next day was work. And I didn't want my children to see that as mom and have that be what they remember mom being. And said, you know, I said, you know, it's going to be difficult. It's going to take some time, but I'm smart. I've been successful. I've done well for these companies. I'm going to bet on me and take a
Love
step,
that.
leap of faith. I have a very strong faith. And so here I am, still
And that's
building.
great, because what I'm finding, to be honest, quite recently, I've had a lot of women, I'll say of a certain age, who are almost getting to that stage of their career, being very successful, and then thinking, okay, is this it? Is this what
Right.
it's going
That
to
was
be
my question.
for the X number of years? Is this what it's going to be? And do I want to be doing this for X number of years? So yeah.
And that was my question, right? Because after you reach a certain level or you make a certain amount of money, you're like, okay, what else? There has to be more, right? And I wanted to enjoy life and really be engaged and to really feel like I was pouring into others and helping people,
Now, as
especially
you've
women.
and now you and as you've made that transition, what have been the challenges, the biggest challenges you've faced, and how have you overcome them?
So lots of challenges, right? Because especially somebody who is very results oriented has been very successful, right? So you're leaving the top of your game and you're starting over, right? And so that has been a very difficult transition for me because I'm starting from where you know everything, people come to you, you are the leader, and now I'm learning, right? Because it wasn't like people say, oh, you know, pivot is good. I didn't pivot. I did a complete 180, right? So I didn't leave from where I was strong in my career and just did my own business or became a consultant. Nah, I went to a business or an industry that I didn't have any background in. I just knew I loved it. I knew I was good at it. And I figured I could learn, right? So yeah, so just so that part has been difficult. Just, you know, I'm launching and learning at the same time, which has been challenging. And also creating my audience, right? So I'm creating a new audience, learning, creating a new audience, really getting my skill and level up to where I'm becoming a thought leader and expert. So that has been part of the process. And yeah, so that's been challenging. But what you asked about what I've learned. What I've learned is that I can learn, right? I have learned that I have a growth mindset. And something that I talked about in corporate as well, being able to have that growth mindset and to know that you know, I don't know this, but I'm either going to engage someone who does so that they can teach me, or I'm going to figure it out on my own or whatever that is. But to know that I can learn really has been a big thing for me.
And have there ever been times where you've doubted, you know, the confidence, you know, you feel a bit shaky, in the whole process? And
Oh,
how have you got around that?
for sure, definitely, right? Because I believe with confidence, there's two things. I believe that you have to believe in yourself, right? And then action. Those are my two things with confidence. So if you don't, so for me, and I have said before, I have a very strong faith. So I just knew, I said, you know, if God has led this, if he put it on my heart and if he led me to this, he's going to, I'll be equipped with all the skills and talents I need to perform. And so I have that. And then, so that gives me the confidence in me that, okay, you can do this. But then action is really what, is really that link that solidifies it. So you can have all this technical or the knowledge in your head, your brain, but if you don't put it into action, if you don't actually work on it, if you don't do it, it's in the doing that you get your confidence. And I'll tell anybody that in any realm of life, anything that you're doing, it's not the knowing as it is the doing. It's the doing that builds your confidence. So for sure, when you're new and you're starting out, you're not really sure if you know enough, and imposter syndrome steps in. But it's with the doing, right? You may not know enough, but you start somewhere. Right, and that's an important point as well, to be able to, you know, I'm going to put it out there, I'm going to give it my best shot, and you start and you do, and from that you learn, right? And you keep getting better, it gets easier.
So when you take your best shot, sometimes we take our best shot, and sometimes it doesn't quite work out the way you want it to do. So
Absolutely.
how do you rebound from that?
I see my failures, or I don't like to say failures, but my lessons really as lessons, right? I really look at it, and maybe it's from corporate as well. I try to do a debrief. I said, okay, what did not go right here? What am I learning from this? What could I have done better? How could this be fixed? How could it be more efficient? And all of those questions. And then I pray again. I'm like, okay, Lord, is this what I'm supposed to be doing? Is this right? I pray and I get quiet and I try to listen. But it's really about assessing the situation and saying, okay. And I really take them as lessons learned, and then move on. And I think the trick also is that you do it again, even though it didn't work out, you still do it again, right? And you try to make tweaks to make it work and make it be better.
It's like that old school, like that childhood coming to my mind that used to say that if at first you fail, try again or
Yeah,
something
if
like
at first
that.
you don't
But
succeed,
see, that's
try
it.
and try
That's
again.
it. That's the one. I knew it was in there somewhere. That's the one. That's the one. So Renee, if you had to start over from scratch, knowing what you know now, what would you do differently?
So I think a few things. What I would do differently is I'd be working my business while I was employed, right? I would be developing my audience, building out my personal brand, talking about what I'm doing, developing my skill, learning the business while I was still employed. Because then you have a certain level of comfort in terms of you still getting your salary, right? And that just was not an option for me at the time. I had reached the point where I'm like, I just cannot take it mentally. I knew that I didn't know what my plan was, but I knew that this was no longer my plan.
I've
Right?
been there. I've been there.
Okay, perfect. But sometimes I sit and I feel like I'm crazy because, like, so you don't have a plan and you left your big job? Where? What kind of nonsense is that? But it just gets to a point where sometimes you just have to make that decision, right? You jump, you're faithful, you know that you have confidence in yourself that you can figure it out and you go with it. Right. So I don't recommend that as a overall for everyone. I think that, you know, if you can, I think a plan is great and you have, you know, all those things in place. That just wasn't didn't work for That just wasn't my situation.
I totally agree with you, because when I think back to when my situation was, it was like, I just had enough. Like you say, it was just like, it's just time. And the only thing I knew was that I couldn't be doing what I was doing. But what the plan, yeah, what came next, I didn't know. And like, right, you say, in hindsight, I kind of wish I had a plan and,
yeah,
kind of semi-started something, but wasn't definitely sure on it. And I know I've, right, swerved a few times doing what I'm doing till I found, yeah, what was the, right, best fit. But you, yeah, but I suppose sometimes there's solace in knowing what you don't want.
Yeah.
You know, someone, yeah, can be just as clear, that can, yeah, be just as clear or as useful as knowing what you do want.
That's a very good point, right? Because when you know what you don't want, then, yeah, your options, you're able to refine and, yes, really get clear on what you do want, right? When, yes, you take those extras out of the picture.
Yeah.
Yes, that's, I agree, great, with you. So, I agree.
So you mentioned when you were in the corporate world, Renee, that you were the only woman sometimes around the table, pharma industry, pharma medical sales. Yeah. And dare I say, maybe the only woman of color
as, oh, absolutely,
well. Absolutely. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, oh, so we know, sure, the challenge can be real. oh, so, yeah, what advice would you share with women who find themselves embarking on their own leadership careers, their own journeys, and entering that kind of environment?
Excellence has to be your benchmark.
Yeah.
You just have to know that you're going to have to work harder. You got to be better.
Yeah.
Right. And that's something that I always held for myself, that excellence was my benchmark. I worked harder. I always went extra because I was developing my brand.
Yes.
Right. My, yes, who I am, who, yeah, they could, can depend on, the kinds of projects that I would be available for.
Yeah.
And it's really about being excellent, being thorough, keeping your word, going the extra mile, just being excellent however you can in your scope, I think really is something that women need to really keep in mind and have as something that they need to take on as well.
Right. Now, we talked about confidence, and I work a lot of women where we're talking about leadership and confidence and stuff like that. But talk to me a little bit more about how clothing. You see, I have a love-hate relationship sometimes when I really think about it. When I was having to think about this interview, is that, you know, I probably had a certain style I liked to wear, or there was a certain look. In fact, I was reading an article just this morning about women and clothing, and now women returning to work, and that the whole thing about fashion, how women should look, the whole dynamic should change. And it was a very interesting viewpoint in that we are, as women, judged differently. In how we dress. So,
yes,
what would you say? How would you? What would you tell a woman about, you know, using her clothing maybe to gain more prominence at work, mm-hmm, gain more prominence at work in their role at work? And maybe I'm going about the wrong way because something else splashed in my head. But never mind. How would you? What would you say?
So, you know, the first thing I think we need to realize is who we are, how we present to the world. That is our brand. That is how we communicate, how we want to be accepted, how we want, what our value is. Yeah. And so I really encourage my clients to control that narrative, right? Because, yeah, decisions are made about us in the first 7 seconds. People,
yes,
make decisions,
yes,
quickly. It's probably even less than that, than, yeah, that data now. And so it's really important that you make that right first impression. And yes, you are judged, and especially in the corporate space, I mean, just by the clothing that you,
yes,
choose to wear, people,
yes,
make decisions. They,
yes,
they decide, they say, oh, she's not the manager, or,
yeah,
she's,
yes,
a lower level person, just,
yeah,
by your attire.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that's right, but that's yeah, how it is. As humans,
yeah,
even just on the road, we judge people, we make assumptions. Okay. And nonverbal cues are 4 times more impactful than anything we can say or do. So I always encourage my clients, you know, dress and your style is, I should say, you're one of your biggest communication tools, right? You can use your style, you know, to share your personality, to share kind of, if you're giving a presentation, you almost wear it as armor, as some, it's another, I just say it's another another tool in our toolbox that we can use to our advantage.
Yeah.
Right. So it communicates so much about who we are without us even speaking or opening our mouths.
Yeah.
So look at it, you know, as okay, you're either dressing for the job that you want, you're dressing to communicate something without even speaking. But really look at it as a tool that you can use to your advantage.
Yeah.
You know, and for your personal, I mean, people out here, people will say, well, you know, I'm a good person. I'm a hard worker. They should judge me from my outputs and all of those things. Mm-hmm. In the ideal world.
Yeah.
Okay. But that's just not how it is. And so I say, if you know the game, let's stack the deck so you have a winning hand.
Yeah.
Right. So you present yourself in a way that shows your value, that is going to communicate your personal brand, what you stand for, the experience that you expect that they're going to get from working with you, right? They make judgments, you know, are you competent? Are you confident? Are you trustworthy? All of those things happen in a split second, few seconds, okay?
And listening to you, I am just flashing through my mind as I'm listening, my own transition, because when I started out in my corporate journey many, many years ago, probably 80s, 90s, we had the power suits.
Yeah.
You know, we had the suits with the, you know,
the big shoulders.
I wore pinstripe. I loved a pinstripe suit.
Yeah.
I knew exactly what department store to go to get this suit. I know, and you knew Janice by the suit she wore. Then I went to skirts. Yeah. And all that was very masculine, I suppose, almost a masculine portrayal because, again, there weren't many women at that level and stuff. And as I progressed to becoming a CEO, when I moved out, I became CEO, I actually went far more feminine than I ever did when I started out. So, you know, I embraced my curves. You know, I had a figure. I wore pink. I wore colors. I was a woman. I was all woman, you know, and it's it's amazing just thinking about that, how that transition has come because
style changes. Yeah.
Yeah. And one time we thought we had to be a man. We were judged.
Right. Yes.
And
that's very true. Right. As you said, back in those days, we thought we had to wear, you know, those power suits, but now, I mean, styles have changed. The world has changed and women are much more comfortable and it's more accepting now to really own all of our skills and talents of being a woman, because we know that in leadership, those qualities that are innate to women are some of the best qualities as a leader, right? Building relationships, networking, some of those softer skills are really so important that come easier for women. But so now style has changed. You know, women are wearing dresses. They're wearing color. They are communicating their personality with the clothing that they wear. So for sure, even at higher levels, they're wearing color suits in bold colors.
Yes.
But you can still, you'll still look professional, not in a suit, but you're still professionally attired and appropriate.
Yeah, definitely.
So styles change with the, you know, how we live.
Definitely. So Renee, share with us a success quote or a mantra that you use and why it's meaningful for you.
One of the quotes that I love is, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. Yes. Right? And that's Wayne Gretzky.
Yes.
And that is, I mean, it is what it is. You have to take your shot or there's nothing there.
Yeah.
Right? Or the answer is always no. So, and even coming from a sales background, right? You have to ask for the sale.
Yes.
And,
yes.
You know, I find when I talk about sales, people kind of, they cringe or their hair stand up on the back because nobody likes sales. They hate salespeople or they're afraid of sales. But I always say, listen, we sell every day. Every day in our lives, we are selling, whether it's our ideas, our opinions, or to our husband to do something that we want them to do, or children. So we're always selling, right? And selling is just a matter of figuring out what the pain point is, what that need is, and then how you can answer that, right? So, and it comes from asking. And to do that and to uncover the needs of your customer, whoever your target is, you have to ask questions.
Yes.
And so you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. So I'm, you know, things that maybe you're uncomfortable doing or asking for, you still have to do it because you just never know. The answer may be yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Right. The answer may be yes.
Absolutely.
And so I go in with that mindset. What if it's yes? Why do we always have to say, oh, they're going to say no? Yeah. It could be yes.
Yeah.
Right. And another one that I like, my grandma would say to me, I'm just going to say it in Jamaican patois first. If I feel you, it can be unfeel you.
Yes.
Right. Just mean that if it's for you, then it's going to be you, yours. Right. Nobody can take it away from you. It's going to happen. So I say that always. If I feel it, honestly, if it doesn't work out, that wasn't yours.
Yes.
That wasn't for you. Yeah. Something else is on the way. Something else is coming for you. Yeah. So those are the two that I have.
Fabulous. And I love what you talked about the asking, because what I always say to people is that, you know, if you ask and the answer's no, then you're no worse off than you actually were at the beginning.
Exactly.
So
the answer was no then before. Was no,
exactly.
Well. Exactly.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, you say that, and I have to say this because in corporate, when I was, because I interviewed a lot of people for my roles. And when it came to negotiations, I always encourage people in any job situation to always push back and ask, especially if it's for your salary.
Yes.
Ask for more.
Yeah.
Right? So many times I'd be so disappointed, especially if it was a woman I was interviewing and I offered the salary.
Yeah.
And she said, okay. I was like, oh, because you just have to know that. And I'm talking from my industry, and I'm sure many of them, I have a budget, right? And I have a range that I can work with.
Absolutely.
I have a budget, right?
Absolutely.
I have a range, and if I give you middle of the range, then that's great for me because I have extra that I can do something else with.
Yes.
But if you as an applicant, right? I want you to know that you have value, and the fact that you have reached this far to come to an interview means that the employer also sees your value.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So you can push, you can ask for more.
Yes.
I'm not saying you're going to be ridiculous. You have to know what the job pays, and you have to understand the industry and all of that, but ask for more.
Right? You know, oh my goodness. I'm doing a whole piece on negotiation for the next episode. And there's so many things you said, because I've said to my clients before, I've said to them, when it comes as a CEO, as the leader, as the person recruiting that person, you're right, I have a budget. And my goal is to get the best person for as little as I can. That's my goal.
Exactly.
It's the best person. And if the best person asks for more, and it's the best person, I'll pay more.
Exactly. You
know? But my ulterior motive is always to get the best for less.
Best for less. Yes.
That's
you have
it.
A bottom line, right? You have a bottom line, you have shareholders, you have stakeholders,
Absolutely.
Whatever that is.
Absolutely.
Right? So you want to get the best for the least you can pay.
Absolutely.
So
the impact the person are asking, especially for women, it has so many repercussions down the line.
Oh, so many
bonuses, pensions.
Yes, especially for a young woman starting out her career, because your job, your subsequent jobs all start from that first pay, right?
Yes.
Which I hate,
but
they'll start at, it's a percentage above what you're getting paid. Yeah. Or if you go to a job, they'll ask, what were you getting on the previous job?
Yes.
Which I hate that question, right?
Yes.
So everything is pinned to that first job, right? Whereas a man will come in and he's going to ask, usually they're going to ask for more.
Oh,
but we women feel that we have to, all the boxes need to be checked before we can even apply for the job. Oh. And Johnny is going to say five and say, oh yeah, I can do it.
Yeah.
Right?
I always looked at a job advert, and when it had a range of salary, I always asked for the top.
For the top. Yes, absolutely.
It's for you to talk to and tell me why I can't have it. I'm telling you why I can, because I'm presenting myself here.
Exactly.
I love that. Yep. We can talk for hours on that
thing. I agree with you. Yes.
So Renee, with all that now, and what advice would you give your teenage self? You talked about going into medical and stuff like that, you know, doing the sciences, being a doctor. But what advice would you give your teenage self now, looking back?
I would tell my teenage Renee to really think about what you love and lean in to what brings you joy, what you truly enjoy. Because when I think back, when I was a teenager, And growing up in Jamaica, it hasn't changed now. You're kind of, you pick your path for O-level yes. and GSAT, not GSAT, but your GCE from young, right?
Yes,
and then
yes.
from your 12 or 13, you're just doing the sciences. I've never done an accounting class, never. So I have none of that knowledge. And I wasn't even exposed to it to know if maybe I would like it. But because I was good at school and because I studied hard, I said, oh, I'll be a doctor. And it was always an encouragement. Yes, you're bright, so be a doctor, right? There was not a lot of variety. And well, you could do this, or what about, let's try this. You may like this. So if I was exposed to maybe something in fashion, something in style, if I was exposed to more of that, I think I'd say, oh, this is what I want to lean into. But it wasn't. So as a teenager, I would say, really spend some time thinking about what you love and do what you love.
Yeah, true.
I like that.
And if you could choose your own mentor, who would it be and why? You could choose anybody.
When I think of mentors, I think of strong women. Strong women really inspire me. And I think of Michelle Obama.
Yes.
I don't know her very well, but the image that I see, because we really don't know people, right? We see the image that's portrayed in the public and the media. And what I see, I like. I like that she's smart. She's confident. She's not afraid to share her thoughts, as different as they may be. She's very strong and believes strongly in her upbringing. Mm. And family is important to her. So all of those things I find so powerful, so inspiring. She would be, definitely someone I'd like to speak, to sit down with and kind of find out, just how she did all, because that was a lot for her to do and be mom. And I hear stories like she would tell the maids in the White House, don't make the teenagers her daughter's beds.
Yes.
And they're like,
yes.
well, no, yeah. but that's a part of their life skills. They need to learn how to make their bed, which I so respect. And like, yes, this is amazing. This is exactly what needs to happen in this world. So Michelle Obama is high on my list. And Oprah, of course. I love Oprah.
Both very grounded.
Seems to be very grounded. I think that's what it is too, right? Yeah. They're up here, but they're real, right? Yeah. Their feet are on the ground and they have strong principles and values that they still adhere to, even with all of their exposure and pomp and notoriety. They still seem to remain true to who they are.
Yeah. Fantastic. So Renee, what are the three things you've learned about yourself during your career?
Okay. Three things I learned about myself. I'm a no excuses person.
Okay.
It's a get it done. Execution has always kind of been my thing. And I'd always say, you may come up with the idea. You may have the idea, but I'm going to outwork you. I'm going to, for sure. You're not going to beat me on the work. So no excuses with kind of get it done. Execution was my thing. Yeah. The other thing is, growth mindset that I've learned throughout my career it started off really being fixed, but I've understood as I've grown as a leader in leadership and even in my entrepreneurship, that I have a growth mindset. When I started off, I'm like, okay, I'm smart. I'm supposed to know these things. I wouldn't ask questions and really be locked into that. That'd be too ashamed. Like if I ask and they think I don't know. But there's so much power in vulnerability and so much power in showing that, hey, I want to learn this. Hey, that's interesting, right? People respect that. And people say, oh yeah, well, she's willing to let us know that she doesn't know everything.
Yeah.
Right? It makes you much more human. So growth mindset, for sure. Because even as, a sales leader, having to even ask reps about my leadership style and what would they like from a leader. To know, having to learn a whole new industry and really kill it and be good at it, you have to be able to learn and open your mind. So no excuses, growth mindset, and I guess networking and relationships. I really understand how powerful those are, whether it's building your career, advancing your career.
Yeah.
even as you're building a network as a new business. So there are three things that I hold dear that I work on, and I think that really encapsulate a lot of what I do and how I spend my time building my network and my relationships.
Fabulous, definitely fabulous. Key. And where would we find you on a Saturday morning at 10 a.m.?
Ah, so probably so I have two answers. I have a pre-COVID and a now. The pre-COVID, I would probably be in a mall, window shopping, looking at something. Right, I love to do that. Now, I am probably, if I'm not in bed, just still kind of lazing around, I'm out either running or on my trail walks.
Okay, fabulous.
I am. I love to run. I just injured myself, so I've been walking a lot more now until my ankle recovers. But yeah, I try to be active or do something to move my body, because COVID also wasn't very kind to me in terms of the weight. So yes. I have been fighting daily to get my weight off. These extra pounds are not welcome at all.
Fantastic. And what does success feel like to you?
Success to me feels like I'm doing what I want to do, when I want to do it, and with people I want to do it with. That really, I have always been driven to own my time. And that is what is such an important driver for me. And that is what success is. When I can decide I'm going to do this now and not that, because I don't want to do that. I want to do this. This is how I want to spend my time. So it's about owning my time in a nutshell.
Yeah, so a freedom of choice I'm hearing as well.
Owning my time. Yeah, absolutely.
Fabulous. Now, I want to ask a couple of sneaky questions here, taking advantage of you as we do, and talking about dressing for success. A couple of quick questions I want to ask you. And pre-COVID, as you said, pre-COVID, post-COVID, pre-COVID, we knew we could pull stuff out the wardrobe. We knew what dress we were going to wear and stuff like that. Post-COVID, I'm not going to stand up, because post-COVID, I've had to dress a different way. So how do women still dress for success when it's coming to Zoom calls and stuff like that? What tips can you share with us in this environment?
Absolutely. I've delivered several corporate clients on this exact topic, because it is, I mean, this is how we're meeting now, right? We're online, we're on Zoom.
Yes.
And it's still important that we present professionally. It's still important that we look like we are working. I just heard from a client last week that she was on a call, and a lady attended the virtual call with a bonnet on her head.
Oh,
right?
Wow.
Like a head wrap.
No.
I'm like, seriously, no. In this day and age? Yes. Yes. So she was telling me that this company needs you, because this is what she encountered. But anyway, but you still have to look professional. You still have to bring your A game. And what I encourage women, even though we're not face-to-face, in the virtual space is a great opportunity to advance your personal brand, to advance who you are, right? Many times you're in front of even a wider audience than you were if you're meeting face-to-face.
Absolutely.
So you have it's new clients, or maybe higher ups are now on the call because they can join virtually.
Yeah.
So you still want to, so still take the time to present yourself professionally. If you wouldn't wear it to work, don't wear it on your Zoom call.
Good piece of
right?
advice.
Yeah, because I mean, why would you? It's not appropriate. And what a key is, that you also have to understand what your industry and your company culture in terms of dress.
Yeah.
So in terms of Zoom calls, I encourage color. Color brightens your face. It makes you look alive. You stand out when you're on these Zoom calls, and they're like 10 black boxes.
Yes.
Right? You stand out, and you don't want to blend in with your chair that's behind you. So you stand out. It gives you opportunity to make your point. Well, you're standing out. It gives you opportunity to make your point, to be seen and heard, right? And people remember you, right? So you make an impression. People remember what you said. They're seeing you. They're putting the face to the voice. And you're building your personal brand. And people may say, oh, it's not as important. We're just on Zoom. But it is. People remember, right? Then they're seeing you. And this is how we're communicating now.
Yes.
So I encourage you to wear a color. If you can, if your industry allows, you can wear a statement jewelry, maybe one piece, maybe it's a statement necklace, maybe it's statement earrings. You don't want, probably don't want to do both because they can be too much.
Yeah.
Or stuff that makes noise. If they're jangling, that can also be distracting.
Yes.
So I encourage that. So statement, wear color statement jewelry. Your backgrounds, be careful about your backgrounds, right? Yeah. You want to know what's I've been on calls where I have where I've seen piles of laundry there or a bra hanging on the bed frame because they're in their room. You know, people don't want to see that. What else? So I think those are some of the few things. Wear color, your jewelry. And something else is, I know some women don't like to wear makeup, and that's fine, but even a 5-minute face works wonders on virtual calls because the lighting, right? So remember, you need to sit with the light in front of you, whether it's a ring light, your natural light, whatever you have in front of you. And many times when you do that, and just the just being on video, all that light, it can drain you.
Absolutely.
Okay. And then you end up looking tired or really not looking your best. So a 5-minute face, a little concealer if you need, little concealer, blush, and lip gloss. And I'd say even a little color, pink or something on your lips. It really does a world of difference.
Yeah. And I totally agree with you. As I am doing a lot more virtual work and doing the podcast now for video, and because I was talking to you today, I had to make a little bit of effort. And you're right about just a touch of powder. I'm not a big makeup person, but a touch of powder and a bit of lip gloss. And I can actually, I said to my husband, it actually does make a lot of difference. I look much better
and
on
listen,
camera.
Yes, and you feel, it makes a difference how you feel.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
It makes a difference also in how you feel. So I've always encouraged throughout this time of lockdown and people working from home, and they'd roll out, and hear people roll out of their bed and just have PJs on. It changes your whole psyche. When you get dressed in the morning, you're in a mindset, you're more focused, you're in the mindset of work, and you're also more productive. There's data that supports that. So I really encourage you to get dressed.
Fantastic.
Get dressed.
Fantastic.
Yes.
Thank you, Renee. That was really, really useful from a personal view as well. So that was
awesome.
Really, really useful. So if women would love to, if women would like to connect with you or get in touch and know more about what you do, how can they do that?
Yes. So I'm on LinkedIn. That's my place. So if I connect with me on LinkedIn, I love connecting with folk, with women on LinkedIn and supporting as I can. So it's linkedin.com/in/Renee Lindo. And I'm also on Instagram under my Let's Get Dressed Now, which is my company. So I'm at Let's Get Dressed Now.
Fantastic.
Yes.
And I'll be sure to leave all your contact details in the show notes.
Awesome. Thanks, Janice. This was awesome. So thank you for having me.
No, you're welcome. Thank you so much for being my guest. I have learned lots. And for any of the listeners, I follow Renee on LinkedIn, and she has lots and lots of great information, things you wouldn't have thought about before and stuff like that.
So
definitely follow LinkedIn and Instagram.
Thank
you so much for joining me today.
Thanks, Janice.
Wasn't that fabulous? And like I said, the real takeaway from that for me was when she said it's not about the knowing, it's the doing, and you have to start somewhere. And that's all it takes, one small step, one small action that can have a ripple effect on everything else. So let that small action today be you joining the This Woman Can community. Remember, I said it's free, but the information and the support you get is invaluable. So head over to www.thiswomancan.coach. You won't regret it. So have a great week. And remember, if I can, you can, this woman can. Take care. Until next time.